The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today. Annie is off and Wiggins is off. So no Wiggins America. You know, Drew, I should have had you do a Drew America.
Are you on tomorrow?
No, I'm not on tomorrow. I don't know who's doing the show tomorrow.
Might be Ryan Recker.
It's that holiday week thing, man. You know, you never really know what's going on. You turn on the radio, could be anybody who's on the air today. So we got a best of Mark Reardon after us today.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do with the other 2 hours? Just kidding.
Yeah, sorry. We'll see.
Best of. That was a shot. Thanks for being here.
Hopefully he's not listening.
Yeah. He hasn't had me on the round table in like 2 months. So I don't care if he's listening or not. What the heck? Like, come on. Did I make Fred mad?
Maybe.
What is going on? Anyway, so we get Steve Ellman coming up a little bit later on. We're going to talk to him. We've got a lot of stuff that we've been working in today. We kicked off the show with Mike Kehoe. So as Scott Fawn said, that's kind of like having the dessert before the entree. And I said, you know, when you're a guy like me, you always like to make sure there's room for dessert. So you start with that. Scott Fawn joins us after that. So power-packed hour, last hour. And I've talked about when we first started off, I know Annie's show does a lot of national politics traditionally. So when I come on, a lot of times I like to try to do some things that are a little more state and a little more local and talk about what's going on locally. So from a local angle, and by the way, Scooter wants to make sure that Mark Carter joins us on a regular basis. So we'll see if we can work that out. But I want to welcome St. Louis County Councilman Mark Carter to the show. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mike. Great to be on with you. And Scooter, checks in the mail.
There you go. It just takes an invitation from Annie. That's all it takes.
That's
and then
right.
Then you could be on the show all the time. And she never seems to invite me. So I'm just saying, that's kind of how
it
works.
Yeah, you're only on when she doesn't,
it's pretty much it.
Takes off, you know.
Yeah,
so.
She's like, I'm here, I really don't need you around. Thanks,
right.
Thanks for playing, though. You know what's very funny, though? So the Annie Fry Show has a fantastic interactive audience. So the fannies, as they call themselves, right? Who, if you go on the YouTube Live, you can see everybody interacting with each other. What I really enjoy about this audience in particular, they will have conversations going on with each other along the comments that sometimes have absolutely nothing to do with what's going on in the radio. The conversation that Annie and Wiggins and Brad are having, this group will just go back and forth with each other, and it may have absolutely nothing to do. So there's a show within a show. If you go on and start, is this the Facebook one or is this a YouTube one that I'm looking at?
So we're on YouTube, X, and then Facebook as well.
So the comments that I'm looking at right now, where are those? Are those YouTube
mostly
or are those
YouTube.
Mostly YouTube?
Yep.
All right. So, the comments are a little slow today. I agree, George. So, but it is the last Monday of, you know, in a holiday week. I get it. So people may have, even the fannies may have taken that day off.
And we're on 97.1's YouTube. So if you guys are trying to find it, go to 97.1.
Oh, so yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, this isn't Annie's regular. I didn't have her login. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that explains. It's a little bit different, but there's a whole other conversation that's going on over here. And it's just kind of fun to watch some of the comments from time to time because you're like, what the hell sparked that? And you're like, oh, somebody else said something like a page and a half up that I missed. So there's a whole conversation that goes on.
Is anyone selling a washer and dryer and a couch?
It's welcome to Tradio. Give
That's
us a
right.
call. Let us know what you want to sell for the holidays.
What color am I?
That's right. And what's a phone number that somebody can reach you if they want to buy that stackable
That's
washer and dryer
That's
for their
right.
dorm room?
That doesn't work. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's for very, parts. Selling it for parts.
That's very funny. Well, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you that we talked about at the top of last hour was there seems to be something going on in St. Louis County all the time that is making the news. And so your new council, your first meeting with the new council is when?
It'll be, actually be our first meeting of the year will be January 7th.
January 7th.
At 6:30.
So at 6:30?
6:30 in the evening.
Okay. Yes. So you've got a council now. So there's seven members who were on the council.
Right.
Do you pick a new chairman at that meeting?
Yes, we do, and vice chair.
Okay, so you'll have a new chair and vice chair.
Right.
Do you normally flip your chair every year?
We have an election every year. Sometimes they stay the same, sometimes it changes.
Okay.
And so, but every January we will take nominations for a chair and vice chair. I've been vice chair on two different occasions in the last 9 years. Others have been chair. Some have not. And so it all depends on what people are interested in doing that next year. It's a lot of work being a chair, especially if you want to make a difference in St. Louis County. We've had chairs in the past that, you know, just showed up and did their own thing.
Right.
But if you really want to make a difference, it takes a lot of work and extra meetings and staying in, you know, in the mix of all the politics going on in St. Louis County.
So there's seven members, four Democrat, three Republican.
Correct.
And I assume it's pretty hard, if you're a Republican, to get to be chair.
It's easier recently because of the way we put together our bipartisan coalitions. And so a lot of our votes are not down party lines. And we've had different people on both sides, both Democrat and Republican, that have been aligned with other people on the council, depending on the issue. For the most part, most of our issues are unanimous. You know, the workings, keeping the lights on and the cars moving and things like that. Those things are pretty much unanimous. It's when we get into issues dealing with our budget, spending, pushing back on Sam Page, dealing with corruption and other things, you know, that come up that you see in the paper every day. Yes, we're going to be a little bit on the dividing side, but it's amazing in the last couple of years that dividing. There's been a dividing line, but it's not been along party lines. It's been a bipartisan coalition on many things. So I think we everybody gets to be heard, and I think we keep, at least I hope we keep Sam Page a little bit off balance in how we deal with things. And we've got a lot of problems, and we've got to deal with them, and we're going to have to deal with them this year especially. We've been kicking the can down the road, so to speak, with our budget, and we are still way in the red, and we've got some major expenses coming up, and we're still going to be in the red. So we've got to do some major cuts this year, more so than what we did this past month when we're trying to put together our budget going forward.
So the way the incoming council kind of lines up, it seems to be kind of 6-1 against Sam Page.
Yes.
Is kind of how I've seen things going.
Yes.
And it seems like even the courts are against Sam Page lately.
Right.
On everything that's been going on. So let's start with the Wesley Bell, him getting elected to Congress. He's leaving on the 3rd?
Correct.
So that'll be his last day. There has been a fight where Sam Page puts up his own person to fill that slot for prosecutor. And the governor said, nope, that's mine. Or rather, the attorney general said it's the governor's to put that in there.
Correct.
So the governor has put forth the name of a lady who's been in the office for 20 years. And from what I understand, when he put her name forward, I heard there were actual applause in the prosecuting attorney's office for her to get that job.
Yeah, I heard that, too. And that's Melissa Smith, and she's been a prosecutor in our sex crimes unit. Her and her sister both used to work together in the prosecuting attorney's office, and her sister went on to private practice, and Melissa stayed. But she's got a lot of experience and has kind of come up through the ranks in that department, and will be a huge asset for that department going forward. Court Van Ostrom was Page's a pick for this, and a week or so ago we had a open meeting where we actually interviewed them in public and asked both candidates a lot of questions about their experience and their goals and what they're going to do in the department if they were picked and so on. In the meantime, you know, the governor has been in court. It's now going to go to appeal. Excuse me. It's going to go to appeals court. I don't think the appeals court's going to hear it in time. And I think eventually, I'm no lawyer, but I play one on TV. but I think eventually, I think a lot of the courts may drop this whole issue moving forward and see that the governor is the one that needs to pick the prosecutor going forward.
So hopefully that will get settled either the end of this week or by the time you have your first meeting next
week.
So what are the other big issues that the council is going to have to deal with right away?
Well, the big thing is putting together this the repercussions of an imbalanced budget. We've got a, as we were talking before, about the collective bargaining unit for our police just came due, and they've been negotiating it for over a year. We finally signed it. It's going to cost us somewhere in the neighborhood of $15 to $20 million over the next three years.
Wow.
And we don't have that money, so we're going to tap into the Rams money to pay for some of that going forward. We've got another project coming up with the Page administration put together a survey and a consultant to tell us that we don't pay enough in our county government. And so if we are to adopt this new right sizing of our pay, that's going to cost us probably about $10 million in the future. And every month that we don't adopt it, we're actually saving $1 million in projections. So we're going to be working hard on that to make sure we do that right going forward this year and decide if that's the right size of government. And that's what the whole issue is about. Is St. Louis County government the right size for the taxpayers of the county for what we have to do and what they're willing to pay for? And so we're also going to probably be moving the discussion to the revenue side of the balance sheet. We've got to look at other things. We've done fee increases. We've changed where we can. We've cut and refinanced some of our debt, but we're still not there. And the big thing is the revenue. And this is probably the same for St. Charles, is that for a long time, especially since COVID, so many people are shopping online.
Yes.
And so all that money, and I keep telling people that all your Christmas gifts that you bought online this year, the sales tax that would normally have gotten that if they would have bought that in a bricks and mortar store, that 1% sales tax is gone, is not being charged. And so the state gets their piece, but St. Louis County and the municipalities, many of them in St. Louis County and probably in St. Charles, are not getting that either. And so that's leading to this flattening of our revenue over the last probably 5-8 years. And COVID really hit us hard when it came to that because people weren't shopping bricks and mortar stores.
Right.
They were going online. They were buying, you know, everything from tires to toothpaste.
They were coming to St. Charles.
And they were coming to St. Charles and spending their money over there. I mean, we lost half of our sales tax that first month of COVID because of all those factors. And
yeah,
people weren't buying things either. So we heavily depend on sales tax in St. Louis County to run our government. And not as much on property tax, but it is a contributor as well.
We are very similar in that. St. Charles County, our charter was written based off of yours. So what St. Louis County became a charter county, what, in the late 40s, early 50s, mm-hmm. somewhere in there? We didn't become one until 1993, passed in 92. So we were county commissioners until then, where you had the three commissioners, one was presiding. So we didn't go to this form of government until 93. Mm-hmm. So it's been different for us. And that online purchasing is a topic of discussion that's going on in our county right now, because when you buy online in St. Charles County, that money is use tax money. Mm-hmm. When the our legislature, in their infinite wisdom, didn't pass an internet sales tax. They passed a internet use tax.
Right.
And in St. Charles County, going back a number of years ago, use tax money is all earmarked for parks in St. Charles County. Mm-hmm. So our parks department keeps getting more and more and more money every year, which is great. We've got some fantastic parks and people love our parks. But the same issue that you're running into, we start talking about right-sizing your government.
Right.
And it's a unique balance that you have to do as a local government, because you want to provide the services to people that they expect. I mean, you need to keep everybody safe. You need to keep the roads in good condition. There are things like that that you just have to do.
Right.
Unfortunately, other municipalities for us, and I don't know how it is for you, but other municipalities kind of use our people as they let them come in, learn in St. Charles County, and then they go hire them to go work for St. Charles or St. Peter's or O'Fallon or Wentzville, wherever.
Right.
And they pay them more than what we can pay. So we end up competing with our own people in the county for the same employees.
Right. And that's the same thing in St. Louis County. We've got county employees that have been there for, you know, 5-6 years. And because we have not kept up with the pay structure, because we've been in a deficit situation, the municipalities, the bigger places out there that you hear of every day, they can hire away a truck driver. They can hire away a yep. policeman. They can hire away a clerk. And especially if they have a big skills or an engineer or they deal with, you know, public works or highways. Those are jobs are in high demand right now. So the big thing is that we unfortunately steal from each other because of that. And the employers know that. And St. Charles has stolen a lot of our police over the years. Now I'm hoping that this new collective bargaining agreement we have will probably slow that down. But there will be a big difference between St. Louis County and St. Louis City in this new pay matrix.
Okay.
So what does that mean is that, well, the people that are maybe just starting out in the city of St. Louis in their career might think, I can start a better career a little bit higher in St. Louis County. Now, if you're a 20-year veteran in the city of St. Louis, maybe you're not going to jump ship for a little bit more pay because you're getting close to your pension down the city. But if you're just starting out, you may go, hey, I'm hired on at this. I can start. I haven't lost very much. I can start on in St. Louis County and move over laterally and maybe even better.
There you go. Talking with Mark Carter, who's St. Louis County Council District 7 out in that Chesterfield, Baldwin, really nice area out there with
God's
the
country.
With the ritzy folks. So we appreciate you coming in, actually in studio, and spending some time with us today. What's the other big thing? We've only got about 3 minutes left here. What's the other big thing that you guys are going to have to work on as you go into the new year in 25? Is crime figure into where you guys are? I know that's a big issue in the city, and that tends to bleed into you guys, I would assume, more than anybody else.
We always have that on the radar. We've got to make sure we have a police department that is right-sized as well. I've been a big advocate for getting many of our uniformed officers out of offices and out behind desk and get them out in the street supervising or being detectives or whatever. And the police department has finally, I think, decided that, yeah, maybe that's the way to go. We got to have more officers on the street. We're always in a hiring situation. Years ago, before I got on the council, for every job opening in the police department, there was usually 10 or 20 applicants. Now it's 20 or so openings for one applicant.
Mm.
And so we've got to make sure we are hiring the best people, hiring the best officers, training the best people. We've done a good job of getting our 911 center up and running and highly staffed. We were behind close to what the city was, and that the city situation was embarrassing when you call and you can't get your phone call answered. So now we're in a better situation. Our calls are answered within about 10 seconds of when they used to be. And that's because of manpower, and we got to have people answering the phones and doing the right thing. So we're always looking for people. If you're interested in a great career, you can be a patrolman or you can fly helicopters. We got the whole gamut in St. Louis County.
we got a little bit of everything because you're facing a little bit of everything.
Right.
It's amazing of how some of these crime rings are just rolling through the area. I heard a story the other day. A lady had her car. She was at a park and she locked up her car and she went for a walk around the park. And when she came back, she found that her car got broken into. They broke the window out, which is unusual. Normally, there's flipping door handles. They broke a window out, got in and stole some stuff out of her car. And when they actually dusted the prints, they found that it connected to a string of thieves. Thefts that have happened all across the country, and it's this gang that is a rolling gang, and they just pull off into these areas right off the highway like that, and they'll go in and do quick smash and grabs, grab what they can, and then head on down the road.
You're right.
And they just keep rolling down.
And many of these car thefts in the area have been because they're crimes of opportunity.
Right.
People leave their keys in the car. They leave their whole life on the front seat of their car, laptops, cell phones, wallets, and they make it easy on the thieves out there. And they're looking for those type of things. And we've had a lot of car thefts, but it seems to be on the downward trend, at least in St. Louis County. And people, I think, are finally waking up to the fact they need to lock their car or put it in the garage or not be a target for these different roving groups and others out there.
Do you have big plans for New Year's?
Oh, we're gonna probably turn in about 10 o'clock.
There you go.
You know, we'll have some shrimp and maybe a little champagne and... You know,
I figured you'd be going down to Ballpark Village and partying it up at Live, no, you know,
that's those days are long gone.
You just strike me as that house music kind of guy that you'd be out there thumping with it,
yeah,
just tearing it up on the dance floor.
Yeah. That's how you break a hip.
Well, that is Mark Carter, St. Louis County Council. I appreciate you coming in today, man.
No, thank you for having me.
I wish you the very best in the new year, and good luck at that first meeting on the 7th. I know that's always a tricky one.
Everybody needs to pay attention to local government.
There you go. We are going to talk to another local government guy going a little bit west, and Steve Ellman is joining us on the other side. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today on 97.1 FM Talk. It's the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Mike Elam sitting in for Annie today. Appreciate Mark Carter coming into the studio and talking to us a little bit about St. Louis County and all the stuff they have going on there. Go a little bit further west, and we're going to run into St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, who's joining us on the phone. Steve, how are you?
Fine, Mike. Hope you have a happy new year.
Well, Christmas was good, but then after Christmas, the whole family got sick, so that kind of stunk. But
that's going around.
Yeah, there is a lot of that I'm finding. I'm hoping it's not bird flu, but I haven't grown wings yet or feathers, so I don't think it's that. I'm really not sure what bird flu really means, but I did cut back on eating chicken. We did something.
I don't know what it means, but I don't really want to find out either.
Yeah, I'm with you. Did you have a good Christmas?
Yeah. Santa Claus is very good to us.
There you go. We did something a little different this year. They decided to do, they being the rest of my family, decided that we were going to go Italian for Christmas this year. So we ended up heavy pasta. And I don't think anybody really planned out the protein of this meal as much as they would have liked to. So after we did like a late lunch, like around 1 o'clock thing,
fell asleep while you were opening your present.
Oh man, about 2:30, everybody's just kind of looking at each other like, I'm going to lay on the floor and take a nap. So,
well, you know, turkey's just as bad on Thanksgiving.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, but you don't have to do anything after Thanksgiving meal.
That's true. You don't have anything else that's going on there. So, but it was all good. You know, what's very funny is my 3-year-old grandson, had one request for Christmas. His one request was he wanted Santa to bring him Blues tickets. And I'm like, seriously? So Santa brought him Blues tickets. And at the Blues game the other night, he got to go to his very first Blues game, which was very exciting because he and my son will sit and watch the games because my son will work with the video crew in the building from time to time. So they got to sit and watch the Blues game in person, and they have video of him going, "Let's go Blues," and he was into it. It was really cool.
That's great. Well, that was great as Santa, because I've heard he's an Edmonton fan, actually. the best thing about Christmas is when you have kids around. And right now in our family, we don't have any young ones in the family right now. And it's just different. It's more fun when the kids are there.
I'm with you. When you have little ones around, it just gives you a whole other thing. I thought it was funny when I asked him, I said, "Hey, did you get what you wanted for Christmas?" He did. He said, "I did, Grandpa. I got Blues tickets, but Santa accidentally brought me toys as well." Accidentally. Okay. That worked out pretty well. Do you have big plans for New Year's? Are you guys doing anything fun and exciting or going to stay home?
We're boring people. We're going to stay home. We're
boring people. We don't want to get out on amateur night, I think is what I heard.
That's right. Now, I hope everybody is careful when they're out there.
Hey, I had a conversation to kick off the show today with Mike Kehoe. He led us off, and we were talking about his priorities and things that he wants to get done right away. And you had a blog where you actually wrote down 8 things that were on your wish list that you want to happen in 2025. But what was kind of surprising to some people, might be surprising to some people who haven't paid attention to what you talk about on a regular basis, is a lot of your wish list wasn't really St. Charles County focused as much as it was for the St. Louis region, and in particular, the city of St. Louis.
Well, I've got two that are St. Charles centric, and yeah, the rest are regional. And you know, I've said this 100 times already. I mean, we're doing well out here. We'll continue to do well. But eventually, everybody who wants to move here will move here from St. Louis, and then we'll be no growth, too. We've got to get the region going. And that's why I got some ideas I think might do that.
So when you came up with this wish list, how did you prioritize these things?
I didn't. I put the two St. Charles ones first, and the one first one on the list, you can talk about. You don't really need me. This whole East-West Gateway Council of Government, we've got 125,000 more people than the city of St. Louis, but have one less vote. And I didn't realize it until I start looking. There's actually, you know, we pay dues based on our population.
Right.
Not on our votes. We pay dues based on our population, and half of what we're assessed, the state pays. And the state pays that because there's a statute that says they can and actually puts a limit on it. So I went into that statute and just added a little language and hoping that if it's passed, it would require them, if they want the state money, they've got to reapportion and do it based on population, just like we do everything else.
Do you think that's actually going to happen? Do you think we actually have the possibility of getting that done?
Well, I would hope that our delegation would see that as something very important. Now, I know, and I know that in the past, I think we've gotten our fair share down at East West Gateway, in spite of the fact we didn't have the votes. But it's going to be different down there because this whole loop trolley thing. Now they're telling us if we don't make that work right, we could lose future funding for transportation. So, you know, the next time a loop trolley thing comes up, instead of going along with it because, you know, it didn't really impact us, we're not going to be able to go along with it because it does impact us if it fails. So that's a short answer to a question that requires probably a more lengthy one.
Well, one of the things that you put on your wish list was Lambert Airport. Talk to me a little bit about the Lambert situation, because that gets confusing in a lot of people's minds.
Well, you know they're going to spend $2 billion improving it. And 30 years ago, I offered a bill to put the airport under regional control. It didn't go anywhere when the Democrats were in control. And the Republicans really haven't done much about it either. And generally, it's not been a problem. But when you look at the city of St. Louis and see all the other things that they don't seem to be able to do, it's kind of amazing that we don't have more problems at the airport. But you're never going to get people to to think this is important until people realize that the city of St. Louis, back in 1927, bought the land, and they used government obligation bonds to pay for it. And for the next 20 years, they used GO bonds. They never had to go into their own bank account, but if the airport had failed, they would have had to. But since 1959, that airport has been supported totally by revenue bonds, which means the city hasn't put a dime into it, hasn't been at risk for a dime, and the money has come from the federal government or from us, the users, by user fees, which we pay to the airlines that then they pay to the airport. So that's fine. That's the way it is. But everywhere else in the country, except for a few airports, and Lambert's one of them, the money that is raised to that airport needs to be spent in the airport. When that bill was passed by Congress in 1983, there was a grandfather clause that allowed St. Louis to continue to take, I think it was 5% of the gross receipts out of the airport. And today, they still take $6.5 million that is raised in the airport, and they take it down and put in their budget in the city. And even with that $6.5 million, we know all the other things they haven't been able to get done. So I think the first thing we should do to educate people is have a bill that will go ahead and say, hey, if you make the money with the airport, you need to spend it in the airport.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And I know education is very important to you. You're a former educator. Your wife's a retired educator. But one of the things you put on your list was St. Louis Public Schools. And some people may wonder, okay, why does the county executive of St. Charles County care about what's going on with St. Louis Public Schools?
Well, because the county executive is 74 years old, and he was around 30 years ago when we had the same problem. And they had the whole DSEG program, you know, with more than $1 billion the state had to put into these failing districts and everything. And one of the things that the Republicans accomplished when I was the Republican leader in the Senate is on the DSEG bill, we got language in there that we didn't want to send that money to the elected school board down there because we thought they were wasting it. And we set up a system where the Board of Education could appoint a special advisory board. And unfortunately, it took a while for them to do that. But when they finally did do it, they got, remember Rick Sullivan was one of the people that the governor appointed, and there was two others from St. Louis. They did a tremendous job. And within 5 or 6 years, the help of the superintendent, they went ahead and they got the economics in line. They got the finance all straightened out. Now, they still weren't able to get the test scores up, but at least the buses ran on time, and at least, you know, they were able to not have a deficit like apparently they do now. And that statute that they used to do that 20 years ago is still on the books, and I think it needs to be amended a little bit, but even as it is, I think State Board of Education could send a group of three people in and get the same result, hopefully, that they did before. At least get the finances in order so we can spend all of our time trying to educate the kids, not just to provide a facility for them to sit around during the school day.
We're talking with St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman. Steve, I know you and Mike Kehoe have known each other for a very long time. And there seems to be a lot of very positive feelings that I just feel like are out there right now about what Kehoe is going to be able to do. What are your expectations of how do you think he's going to be able to affect things coming in?
I'm very optimistic, and yeah, I met Mike first when he was on the Highway Commission, and as you know, we spent a lot of time working with MoDOT, and St. Charles County wouldn't be what it is today without MoDOT.
That's true.
So I got to know him there, and then he ran for Senate. So he was, I think he became the Republican floor leader in the Senate, and then was appointed lieutenant governor. And during COVID, Mike, I think you probably remember this, I think you called me on a couple things where there was a problem, and I didn't even try to call the governor's office because every time we did that, we'd get caught in the bureaucracy. But I would call the lieutenant governor, and he would go and talk to the governor, and every situation we got it straightened out. And I think it's because, again, he's familiar with St. Louis. He's familiar with the things that make us different than Polk County or Cole County or any other county in the state. And as governor, I think that's going to be a big plus for us. And, of course, you know, I've been so concerned about the crime issue in the city because it reflects on the entire region, not just the city. And I had hoped by now, after 3 years of discussing it, Jefferson City, that the city would have been concerned enough about losing control that they would have gone ahead and hired those 300 additional officers that they need, and they would have gone ahead and made some changes. But they don't seem to. They don't seem to want to do that. They don't pay their police officers as much as the rest of us do, and. I think it was your I was listening to your station here earlier in the day, and you've got Springfield, Missouri, advertising. They want to hire cops.
Yeah.
They want people from the region to go down there and be cops. Well, I mean, I think if there's people around here who want to be cops, I'd like to have a shot at them either in St. Charles County or even more so in the city of St. Louis, because that's where they're needed.
Well, there's definitely, when Mark Carter was here just a little bit ago and we were talking about, and you live this on a daily basis, we're fighting for employees on a regular basis, just trying to keep our employees. And it's weird when you're in local government, you don't want to overpay for a position, but you can't underpay because you'll lose your good people. And then you just can't be efficient in how you're trying to get the services that people expect. So there's a balancing act that you have to go back and forth on.
Well, you know, we do everything we can to be competitive, and thank you for your support on that. But, you know, occasionally people move on from here, and it's usually to a bigger and better job. And, you know, I see it as a compliment to us. I mean, if all we had around here is people that nobody else wanted, that wouldn't be good either.
It's true.
So yeah, you know, and of course, you know, we had Robert Myers, who actually left us a couple months ago, and I was very disappointed that he did and took a job that was a promotion, but he didn't like it. Came back 3 months later, and we're glad to have him back.
We are very glad to have him back. I was very excited about that. Well, Steve, I appreciate you taking some time to be on with us today. We'll see if Missouri's going to be able to pull out a win in that bowl game, and we'll see how that works out. I'll have to catch up. Scooter had asked a question that said, does Elmet have any thoughts on early voting in St. Charles County last November? So that's one I'll put in your back pocket, and we could talk about that the next time that you're on.
Sounds good. Hey, M-I-Z.
Z-O-U. Good luck with that. My best to you and Gene and the boys. So have a great New Year's. And I will see you Friday for the 10th anniversary of the St. Charles County Police Department.
Yeah, we got a great story to tell on what's happened out there in the last 10 years, and we'll be talking a lot about it
and
next month.
Governor's going to join us, so it's going to be fantastic.
And the governor-elect is going to join us.
That's right. All right. Steve, we appreciate you being on. That is Steve Elman. He is the county executive of St. Charles County. I always like to talk about St. Charles County. I know some people are probably like, get over it, man. Nope, that's kind of what we're here for. We're going to talk about what's going on well and what's positive, and hopefully other folks from around the region will share on that and join with us and try to make sure that we're all moving forward. What's good for the region is good for all of us. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Annie Fry today on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, I'm a chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night.
It's the Annie Fry Show on the last Monday of 2024. Happy New Year, everybody. Hope things are going well. My name is Mike Elam, sitting in for Annie today. I hope you've got great plans for the New Year's. And, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the year, and it just wouldn't feel right if we didn't have a happy holiday message from Michelle Obama, So I wanted to share that with you before we get out of here.
Happy holidays, everyone. I know it's been a difficult few months for so many of us, and that folks are feeling a little bit anxious and uncertain. But even during these tough times, there are plenty of reasons to stay hopeful. And I see so much of that through the people we work with through the Obama Foundation.
Yeah, that's a great thing that'll give you a warm fuzzy, doesn't it? It wouldn't feel like New Year's if I didn't have a message from Michelle Obama.
There you go. You feel more comfortable now going into the new year?
Can she just go away? Can it just go away? Like, look, you did 8 years. Congrats. You're done. Move on. Joe's done. Did you hear the latest thing they're talking about now is Biden is telling people that he thinks if he would have won, he would have beat Trump.
Okay.
If he would
have stayed in.
If he would have stayed in. If they didn't force him out, he would have beat Trump.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like he sabotaged the movement. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I think he felt like he got sabotaged in the movement. I mean, he didn't want to leave. He wanted to run again, and he wanted that shot. And he may honestly believe that he would have beaten Trump.
Oh, yeah.
And the good news for him is you can never prove him wrong. You're right. You don't know. You can't prove me wrong. I can make that claim, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's like, yeah, well, your ratings were kind of in the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody pretty much saw that you were a senile old man who didn't really know what was going on. What I can't wait to find out, and I think this is going to happen before too very long, you're going to start hearing stories now that as Trump gets into office and the current Biden people go away, once people leave the White House, they have a tendency to write books. And when they write books, things tend to go to hell in a handbasket in terms of, Joe Biden was running circles around us behind closed doors. Really? There was a whole Saturday Night Live skit that I don't know if you ever saw that thing that they were talking about. Joe Biden behind closed doors was, doing handstands and cartwheels down the hallways. And he was as sharp as a tack. Oh, he was always on top of everything. And so the guy who came out in public, he was obviously worn out from doing all that great work behind closed doors. Because once he got out where the doors were open, he looked lost.
The surprising thing is, so conservative media has been talking about Biden's decline for a while.
Yeah.
And I guess just like left-wing media sources weren't covering it. So people were kind of shocked when the debate happened. And it's like, we've been seeing this for years,
And the big thing now that I think the book's going to start coming out is who knew and who was doing what? I mean, the big question that a lot of people have is who has been running the country for the last 4 years? Because I think if you're just honest, you don't even have to be political, right? Just be honest with what you've seen with Biden over these last 4 years, and especially over the last two. I think you've seen significant decline over the last 2 years. And the question has to be asked, who has been making the calls of what's going on in the White House? And I don't think we know. There's an awful lot of, and one of the reasons why I wanted to pay the Obama clip there, is there's an awful lot of old Obama people who were in the Biden White House. And everybody keeps thinking that, Obama was the one who was really calling the shots with his people and getting them to run everything. I can't remember the guy's name who was the original chief of staff who ran everything with Biden in the beginning, but he left about a year and a half ago. And after he left, then it's like, okay, everybody pretty much knew he was really running everything back then. But the question now is, well, after he left, who's been running things for the last year and a half? And a lot of people think Jill Biden had a very heavy hand in everything that was going on there. So stay tuned. We will find out more as we get closer. By the way, just in case you were curious about the Mizzou game, Iowa's beating Mizzou 7-0. They are playing in Nashville. There is a big party that's going on in Nashville. We'll keep you updated on how things go. It's Mike Elam in for Annie Fry today on 97.1 FM Talk. But it's filling love.